are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. At the time of this recording, early Tuesday morning, we are just over 2 days away from Thursday afternoon's trade deadline. That means that there is plenty to talk about regarding the Wolves. Of course, they possess one of the league's most coveted complementary assets in Robert Covington, and are one of the teams interested in trading for D'Angelo Russell, who's one of the few stars reportedly available. We're going to talk all things trade deadline, take a spin around the various rumors that have surfaced in the last 24 hours. Then we'll talk about the Wolves' loss in Sacramento on Monday night. Of course, their 12th loss in a row. First, a quick reminder to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. It's only been 24 hours since I recorded our last podcast, and there have been a steady stream of rumors over the last 24 hours. So we're going to kind of go in chronological order from what's come out. And it's actually going to paint a picture of a bouncing ball that clearly was almost pieced together a little bit, I'm pretty sure, by these members of the media to try and figure out, on top of their sourced reporting, what exactly is going on. So first, early on Monday, Mark Stein of the New York Times reported that the Timberwolves were seeking two unprotected first-round picks for Robert Covington, which is absolutely a high asking price for a guy who is certainly a good value based on his contract, but isn't a true star. He might be one of the better role players in the league, but two first-round picks for a really good role player is a lot. Of course, as I've talked about all along in this podcast, the Wolves have no reason to move Covington, so starting the asking price high is a smart thing to do. I mean, they can always come down on their asking price. So they're seeking two first-round picks. That's first. Then also on Monday, there was an article released on The Athletic from John Krasinski and Shams Charania. Apologies if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but Shams and John Krasinski. The Wolves are reportedly not willing to trade their first-round pick in 2020 for D'Angelo Russell, which maybe is not where they started back in the fall. They probably weren't expecting to be this bad, but at the moment, it's like a top five or six pick. In terms of record, the Wolves are one of the five or six worst teams in the league. The Timberwolves are not willing to trade that first-rounder for D'Lo, and the Warriors, for their part, want significant draft pick compensation. They want multiple draft picks in return for D'Angelo Russell. Later in the day, Zach Lowe of ESPN reported in his article that the Warriors don't want to take on a Gorgui Dieng contract or an Andrew Wiggins contract. Of course, they're almost going to have to do that to make the money work in a D'Angelo Russell trade. Even if they got Robert Covington, which I'm sure they'd love to get Robert Covington, he is only like not even half the salary of Russell, who just signed a max deal. And so there would need to be another piece involved anyways, and the Wolves don't have a lot of those medium-sized salaries. They already traded Jeff Teague. They don't have much else. It's the big ones like a Wiggins or a Gorgui, or it's the small salaries like all the guys on rookie deals, Noah Vonleh, Jordan Bell, some of those vet minimum deals. So it seems unlikely that the Warriors are going to be involved in a Covington for Russell swap unless there's another team involved that's helping the Wolves add some salary to the deal. Or if the Warriors decide that they're willing to take on both Covington and a Gorgui or a Wiggins and then send some money back to the Timberwolves to match those salaries. Then Shams went on the Alex Kennedy podcast, Alex Kennedy at Hoops Hype, and said that Golden State wants to acquire two first-round picks in exchange for D'Angelo Russell, so specifically two first-rounders, which of course almost draws a direct line to the Mark Stein report that the Wolves are looking for two first-round picks for Robert Covington. So Shams is now reporting the Wolves are, of course, trying to acquire two picks for Covington and then flip them to the Warriors. So this all tracks, because then in that scenario, the Wolves would be acquiring two first-round picks and sending out two first-round picks. They wouldn't need to give up their first-rounder this year, because that's surely going to be a high first-round pick. So they could acquire two other firsts, flip them in a deal for D'Angelo Russell. That all makes sense. And it also makes sense then why the Wolves are asking so much for Covington, because they don't want to give up their pick and they still desperately want D'Angelo Russell. There's a suggestion in that Shams John Krasinski piece that posted on The Athletic that the Wolves almost feel as though they have to accelerate their attempts to get D'Angelo Russell because of the way that they've struggled so far this year, and that the Wolves are essentially, they don't use the word desperate because obviously I don't think the Wolves were expecting to be a playoff team anyways, but the amount of, I guess, tepid interest in the team over the past few weeks, the multiple 11 plus game losing streaks, the frustration setting in with the players are all reasons for the Wolves to do something to shake things up. And no doubt that's just made the Wolves more likely to try and make a splash. That said, I'm still of the belief that the Wolves aren't going to bend over backwards to move a guy like Covington or to overpay for a guy like D'Angelo Russell. One more Covington specific note before we get on to another a relatively new rumor regarding a team we haven't talked about much as a potential trade suitor for Covington, is that ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski suggested during a podcast he did with Bobby Marks that he's, quote, very confident that Robert Covington will be dealt. And Zach Lowe continues to talk about it as well. He says that Covington is as good a bet as any high wattage player to move this week as well. So both of those guys are obviously very, you know, they're reputable guys and that they're all right an awful lot. But Woj saying that he's, quote, very confident Covington will be dealt is interesting. That flies in the face of what I've said all along. Woj knows more than I do. I still just have this gut feeling that unless the Wolves are able to swing some sort of two-part deal that lands him to D'Angelo Russell, I don't think he's moved. I think that the Wolves are locked in on they want D'Angelo Russell, and if they can't get him, there's no reason, there's no incentive for them to move Robert Covington unless they get two first-rounders plus something else. I think that the Wolves are trying to accomplish moving Covington to somebody, and maybe it's a three-team deal that they get a first-rounder from one team and another first-rounder from another team, and they get back a couple first-rounders. Then they turn and look at the Warriors, and surely the Warriors are requiring that second first-round pick because they're going to have to take on a contract. So I think then the Wolves would look at the Warriors and say, okay, fine, pick Gorgui Dieng or Andrew Wiggins, and here's your two first-round picks. Give us D'Angelo Russell. I think if the Wolves are unable to get those two picks for Covington, they're not going to make a deal. They're not going to move Covington, and they're not going to trade for D'Angelo Russell because they won't have the assets to get it done without including a third team. If they can get two first-round picks for Covington, they'll flip them for D'Angelo Russell. They'll balance out the salaries by trading either Gorgui or Andrew Wiggins. And actually, I think it'd be better to move Wiggins because Gorgui is going to be a tradable contract starting this summer, pretty tradable, as he'll be expiring after next year. He's had a good season. The Wolves still need, I mean, I guess they've got Jordan Bell and Noah Vonleh still under contract this year. But having D'Angelo Russell and Andrew Wiggins play together won't be the most synergistic fit, as both guys are obviously quite ball dominant and need to handle the ball in the offense on top of Karl Anthony Towns. But I also think the Warriors would probably want Gorgui Dieng more. So I'm betting that the Wolves try and get those two picks. They flip them and either Gorgui or Wiggins for Russell. If they can't get the picks for Covington, I don't think they move Covington, and I don't think they get D'Angelo Russell, at least not before the deadline. My money is on, it's more likely than not that those major deals do not happen before the deadline on Thursday. I think that we're looking at this summer before any of that stuff happens, is my bet. Okay, we're going to put a bow on the Covington stuff, and then, or as much as we can here 2 days out from the trade deadline, and then talk about an additional Covington rumor. So we'll put a bow on the Warriors stuff, I guess, more specifically. We'll talk a little bit about another team that's got a proposed offer for Robert Covington, and then some of the other teams that are interested before we get into talking about the Wolves' loss to the Kings on Monday night. First, I did want to mention advertising here at Locked On Wolves. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Wolves fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. One more thing to note related to the trade chatter that's out there before we talk about this other Robert Covington rumor is there is a new contest going on here at the Locked On Podcast Network, specifically related to the deadline that takes place over the next couple of days. We're calling it Pre-Bomb the Woj Bomb. You can win two tickets to see your favorite team in their home arena by guessing an NBA trade perfectly before it happens. Pre-Bomb the Woj Bomb is what we're calling it. Go to any of the Locked On NBA Network accounts on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Post the trade that you think will happen. Tag five people with your predicted trade in your post. If you pick your trade right, if you are correct, you have a chance to win two tickets to see your favorite team play in their home arena. Trades are evaluated based on players and picks, not cash. And if multiple people win, the first person with the correct trade is the winner. One winner will be chosen across all Locked On social accounts. So of our entire network here at the NBA, Locked On NBA Network, we'll pick one winner. If no one guesses the exact trade, the winner will be the one closest to the pin, if you will. Go now and pre-bomb the Woj with your trade deadline trade at Locked On NBA Network. That's any of the Locked On NBA Network handles. Tag us, tag five other people in your post, and then we will determine who is first predicting the correct trade. Doesn't have to be a Robert Covington trade. It could be any trade league-wide, and tag any of the Locked On accounts plus five other people, you'll be entered to win. So good luck there. It's always tough to predict whether or not there's going to be any major moves or just a trickle of small moves. I'm still of the mindset there's probably going to be mostly a trickle of small moves this year, but maybe that's just me hoping for, trying to wish into existence a busier trade deadline by assuming there's going to be a less busy one. At any rate, the other Covington rumor that's out there that came out relatively recently, late in the day on Monday, was Sean Devaney from Heavy, or was writing at Heavy.com. Devaney's written in a number of different places, but he's writing right now at Heavy. He posted that Covington, there's plenty of teams after Covington. We all know that. He listed several teams that have varying levels of interest: the Bucks, Rockets, Mavs, Sixers, Lakers. He thinks that Dallas's interest has cooled a little bit. Milwaukee is probably looking at the buyout deadline. The Lakers are busy contemplating Kuzma trades, and it had already been reported a couple of weeks ago that the Wolves weren't interested in a trade centered on Kuzma, or perhaps they were, but it would be really hard to make the salaries match. So the interesting one that he throws out, interesting just because we hadn't heard it previously, is that the LA Clippers are really after Covington. That they really want somebody who can be a solid perimeter defender as they go through the Western Conference playoffs. So the proposed trade from Devaney, we don't know for sure if this was offered by the Clippers, but if I'm them, I certainly would try this. Mo Harkless, who's expiring this summer, he's, I think, just under $11 million. Their 2020 first-round pick and a young player like Jerome Robinson or Terrence Mann might be enough to land Covington. I would say I think that is absolutely not enough to get Robert Covington. The Clippers 2020 pick is not that attractive. They're one of the best teams in the league. Mo Harkless is an expiring deal, which it would be nice to get out from under some money this summer. But neither Robinson or Mann has really shown that much of an upside this year. Robinson was last year's first round pick from the Clippers. Terrence Mann was this year's second round pick. Both are nice players and both have at different times cracked the rotation and played fairly regularly for a good LA Clippers team. But I would rather have two first round picks than that haul, and I also don't think the Wolves are particularly interested in the Clippers first round pick either. If the Wolves can get some expiring deals back, if Mo Harkless is, like, say that somehow they get Harkless, a pick from the Clippers, and maybe a pick from another team in a separate deal, maybe they somehow can move. I don't think they'll get a first round pick for, say, Noah Vonleh, but if they did, or maybe they got a good second round pick for a guy like Vonleh or a guy like Jordan Bell, then maybe the Wolves could turn around and package either their first rounder plus the Clippers first rounder, or maybe the Clippers first rounder and a high second round pick. They could turn around and package those in a deal for D'Angelo Russell. I could see that happening. In that scenario, I guess Covington would end up with the Clippers, but the Wolves are going to need to be incentivized by more than a bad first round pick, an expiring deal, and a first round and another young wing who is yet to prove much in the league. I mean, Jarrett Culver has higher upside than both those guys. Josh Okogie has proven more in the league than either of those guys. It just doesn't feel like a trade the Wolves are likely to make. So to summarize where we stand right now, the Wolves are trying to find two first-round picks for Robert Covington that they then can turn around and flip to Golden State for D'Angelo Russell. The Warriors are resisting taking on Gorgui Dieng or Andrew Wiggins unless they get the draft pick compensation that they want. The Wolves basically need to match salaries with either Gorgui or Wiggins to make this deal happen. So the Wolves will for sure need to attach two first-round picks to make this happen. And yet the Wolves are also resisting trading their first-round pick this year, which is almost certainly going to be a top 10 pick. So that's also understandable. I think with all these moving pieces, the Wolves are absolutely going to try their best to make something happen. My prediction stands, even as incentivized as everybody seems to think the Wolves are to move Covington, I don't think it happens. If it does happen, it's part of a larger two-part deal, most likely, with at least two teams in each deal, maybe three teams in each deal, for the Wolves to trade Covington somewhere, get the assets to then acquire D'Angelo Russell from the Warriors. My prediction stands. I think the Wolves make a minor deal. I think they're able to move one of their backup bigs, Jordan Bell, Noah Vonleh, maybe a younger player like Ikeda Bates-Diop if they determine that it's worth it for a second-round pick, a good second-round pick, maybe a late first-round pick, something like that. I think the Wolves are going to try and still acquire some draft capital for this year that then could help grease the wheels on a Covington trade later or a different trade or a bigger deal down the road. If the Wolves can pick up an extra draft pick by Thursday's deadline, then maybe that's part of a package this summer to land D'Angelo Russell or something like that. That's my prediction. I don't think the Wolves are gonna act brashly when it comes to trading Covington or overpaying in their minds to acquire D'Angelo Russell. I think they're going to be pretty judicious about what they do, despite all the rumors surrounding the team. I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about on Wednesday and Thursday. Everything we talked about today was new during the day on Monday and early Tuesday. So expect there to be plenty more to talk about later this week as well. All right, we are going to spend our last segment kind of talking briefly about the Sacramento Kings game on Monday. There, I don't know that there's really much that we all want to talk about related to that game. The trade deadline is far more interesting at this point, but we're going to do some studs and duds. We're going to talk about the Wolves' late surge in that game, and then we will wrap up today's podcast, look ahead to the last couple of days here, headed into the trade deadline. Despite all the deadline chatter, the Wolves actually played some basketball Monday night. It was only their second game in the last week. They played that Saturday matinee against the Clippers, in which they were held at arm's length for the entire game, but weren't really blown out. So a little bit of a silver lining there. In this game, the Wolves took on the Kings. They played them last Monday, of course. That was the game. They were up 27. They were up 17 with like 2:47 to play and lost. I don't think we need to say anything else about that. And the last time the Wolves went to Sacramento, they also had an 11-game losing streak. They won that ugly game in double overtime the day after Christmas. And so it felt like this, perhaps that same thing would happen again. The Wolves were healthier. Towns is available, but that didn't happen. The Wolves ultimately lost 113-109 to Sacramento. They trailed for most of the game. They were actually down by 15 points at halftime. They had a pretty good third quarter, got within nine at the start of the fourth and hung around, made a little bit of a surge there at the end. They really only got a good game from Karl-Anthony Towns. Shabazz Napier had a rough first quarter. He was 0 for 5 from beyond the three-point line just in the first quarter. But from that point forward, he was solid. He shot 2 of 5 the rest of the way, finished 2 of 10 beyond the arc, but contributed in other areas. The Wolves' defense really, really struggled. The first half, the offense was the bigger issue. In fact, the Wolves got down 20, I think it was 14-2 right away, and then it was like 24-10. The Wolves couldn't score. They finished the first quarter with 20 points, but it was a flurry at the end of the quarter. And the whole first half was kind of the bigger issue was the offense versus the defense. Then when the Wolves' offense finally came around in the third quarter, it seemed like they couldn't get consistent stops. They were fouling a lot, and they just couldn't get the stops when they needed them. The fourth quarter, when the Wolves were down by 9 headed into the fourth, it was almost exclusively the Wolves bench that got Minnesota back into the game. It was a stretch with Towns on the bench, with Wiggins on the bench, and a unit that included both Gorgui Dieng and Jordan Bell in the game in the early stages of the fourth quarter, and a backcourt of Jordan McLaughlin with Keelan Martin and Josh Okogie that got this Wolves team back in the game. And they were within two possessions when the Wolves started to bring their starters back in. And ultimately, they got within three, and at the buzzer, Andrew Wiggins had a actually it was a 6-point game with 17 seconds left. The Wolves got an offensive rebound and a three from Robert Covington. Then the Kings turned it over on a 5-second violation after a timeout. They couldn't get the ball inbounds. It was shades of last Monday's game, but in reverse. The Wolves got the ball inbounding just outside the half court line, down three with, I think it was just under 4 seconds, like 3.7 seconds left. They got the ball into Wiggins. Towns was double covered. They got it into Wiggins. He shot a turnaround jumper from deep on the right wing, and it rattled in and out. It was super close, rattled in and out. And then there was a rebound with 0.1 seconds left and a foul and a made free throw. It made this a 4-point game instead of a 3-point game. But for all intents and purposes, it was a 3-point game. The Wolves had a shot to tie it basically at the buzzer. And a lot of that was due to the bench play and not due to the starters. The best players on the floor in this one for the Wolves, Karl-Anthony Towns had a good game. He had 22 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, a couple of blocks, only 3 turnovers in 37 minutes, shot 7 of 17, 3 of 6 beyond the arc, 5 of 7 from the free throw line. He was absolutely gets a stud designation in this game for the Wolves. He didn't shoot the ball enough. He needs to be attempting more than 17 shots and more than 6 threes when he's playing 37 minutes. And the Kings, like many other teams, just did an outstanding job double-teaming him in the post and sticking to him outside the arc. He wasn't able to get very many open looks at three-pointers. A couple of his makes were actually contested. The Wolves are going to need to find a way to scheme him open a little bit more, and perhaps he needs to handle the ball more on the perimeter. They need to get him the ball more in transition for some of those open threes where he's the trail man in transition. He used to do that a lot, and teams are on top of that now, but the Wolves need to find a way to make that happen more frequently. Another stud for the Wolves in this game, we'll give it to Shabazz Napier. 17 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, only 1 turnover in 29 minutes, 5 of 13 shooting. He was only 2 of 10 beyond the arc, but he made 2 of his last 5, a perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line, and was really good during the comeback, the early stages of the comeback in the third quarter. And then the bench overall played really well. I'm going to give the third stud to, well, actually, let's make an exception on this one and go with 4 studs for this game. Both Keelan Martin and Josh Okogie had 12 points off the bench. Martin was 5 of 6 shooting, 2 of 3 beyond the arc. He's been ice cold basically his entire time at the NBA level. He's been shooting the ball really well in the G League. But he finally came to play from a 3-point shooting perspective for the Wolves. 12 points, 5 rebounds, 5 of 6 shooting. It was a plus 19, the team's best plus minus mark on the game in 20 minutes. No turnovers. Really good performance for Keelan. Josh Okogie also had 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals and assist. 4 of 8 shooting in 26 minutes was a plus 18, the second best mark on the team, and only turned the ball over one time in 26 minutes. So between Keelan Martin and Josh Okogie, they got exactly what they've needed from wing players, really not even off the, just wing players in total lately for the Wolves have struggled so much that to get those guys to combine to shoot 9 of 14 from the field, 2 of 5 from beyond the arc, only turn the ball over one time, combined for 9 rebounds, couple of steals, the best plus-minus marks on the team. That's exactly what the Wolves needed, and those guys were really good in this game. So kudos to them, and thank goodness for the bench. Otherwise, this game would not have been close. Duds for the game, we're going to go with 2 duds. Andrew Wiggins, yet again, second game in a row, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, but he also turned the ball over 5 times, was 3 of 11 shooting, 0 of 3 beyond the arc. I don't know how Andrew Wiggins goes 35 minutes and only attempts 11 shots. Usually that's not the issue. But also the 1-to-1 assist turnover ratio of 5-to-5 is really disappointing. He also committed 4 fouls in 35 minutes and just really struggled. He did not come to play in this one, despite almost making that game-tying buzzer beater at the end. Jarrett Culver had the worst plus-minus mark on the team, minus 25 in just 18 minutes. Had 3 points on 1-of-5 shooting, 2 steals and an assist and a turnover. Just was really quiet in this game and ultimately lost the majority of his minutes to Josh Okogie, and deservedly so. Culver's back kind of in a swoon after a really strong dozen games or so where he was scoring in double figures every night. I don't think it's fair to say it's a rookie wall at this point because he's really just had an up and down season. But here's hoping he stabilizes a little bit and maybe the All-Star break will do him some good. At the moment, he's not in the Rising Stars Challenge, but potentially he gets added as an injury replacement here in the next week or so. But all that to say, Wiggins and Culver, both duds for this game. Studs are Towns, Napier, Okogie, and Keelan Martin. An all-around decent performance from the Wolves, a good push at the end. They showed some fight, but just not enough. Next up, Wednesday night, the Wolves will play the Hawks on trade deadline eve. That means we'll spend most of our show on Wednesday talking trade deadline, and then we will also have a quick preview for Wolves-Hawks on Wednesday night. Trade deadline's Thursday, so Thursday morning will be our final trade deadline preview show, and then Friday we'll be able to look back at whatever happens on Thursday league-wide as well as for the Wolves, and we'll go from there. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.